all the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello, friends. John Potter here. Phone number 884-9910. Oh, I thought that was Craig. Craig is in Carson City taking your calls in the order they are received. Have we gotten any texts, Craig?
Yes, we have. We've received a couple. Our friend Renee, I'm going to talk to Jerry about putting her on as a official content producer for the show. She has two comments, one regarding the UAW. She says, the average UAW line worker starts out at making $78,000 a year, and the cost of living in Michigan is pretty dang low to begin with.
Then well, that's starting pay, but I've heard pay, that it can go up to $200,000
easily, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then on the regarding the shoplifters slash thieves, many parents are worthless slash useless when they took the angle of wanting to be their child's friend instead of their parent. A saying in her family is, it's called raising a child, not growing them. Children take much more than food and water. They need guidance and nurturing. Thank you, Renee.
Parents who want to be friends
instead
hey,
of a
buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. What you do? Hey, you down, buddy? Hey, buddy. That's my impression of parents who want to be friends with their kids. Okay, so, all right. I got an email about the UAW strike, and this person, she feels that the UAW strike fits in with the progressive war on personal transportation. Let me read what she says here, just three sentences. They don't want you to be able to go where you want to go when you want to go there. That's what this electric car business is. They're pushing out the standard American gasoline-powered automobile pickup truck minivan. They want that to go away. And a 40% pay increase. They want to reduce their productivity 20% and go from 5 days of work for the automaker to 4 days of work. And, you know, this will create a lot of overtime circumstances. Basically, what she's saying is that cars will be so unaffordable that it must be kind of in the plot of progressives to get rid of the internal combustion engine. As you said, Craig, we have armies of auto workers who are making something just a little bit north of could be over $200,000 a year. And, you know, God bless auto workers. I respect assembly work, and I love our American factory workers, right? But less productivity also means lower inventory. And, you know, last year and the year before that, it was almost you couldn't get a car because not enough were being made. And prices will go up. And we have people employed in this industry here in town at all our car dealers who depend on a lot of selling a lot of sales. It's just an incredibly selfish kind of egotistical thing to create for people. And we're not making $200,000 a year. And do you have a pension? I don't. They want the pension. They want to go back to that. God bless them. But they're doing their thing. And unfortunately, you and I are going to take a hit from it. You know, last Saturday, I did kind of talk about this. And when I got home after the show, my thoughts went into this very personal direction. And if you missed what I said last Saturday, it was basically, I love to work. And is it just me? I'm envious of these union members. I got to admit, they are working and they are wanted. And it struck a nerve with me because of, being taken off the air at Channel 2. There does come a time when, despite your very best efforts, you end up unwanted. Happened to my dad, who was very successful when I was born. He was running a chain of office equipment, mainly copying machine stores throughout New York State. He sold copying machines, basically Olivetti, Savin, Sunbeam, Kodak. Yes, Kodak made copying machines back in the day, copying machines. And he did very well until Xerox came on the scene with the very first plain paper copier. You see, all the rest that Dad sold, he had to use special treated paper. It didn't even feel right. And Dad ended up selling his company in his 60s, and he made a lot of money on the sale. I mean, he was set for life, but he really missed work. And when he passed away 10 years later, we were going through his things, and we found all these copies of letters that he had sent to just about every little rinky-dink employer in town. 67 years old, and there were cover letters he wrote to car dealers to work as a salesman. He lived for work, and Dad instilled on me a love of work. My first job at 16 at a radio station, and when I got my driver's license at 17, I was a restocker for Ortho Chemical. I would be going, driving to all these garden shops to fill up empty shelves once people bought their ortho dandelion insecticide, whatever. I was the guy who replaced the product on the shelves. College, I had to pay for my housing and food. Even though, you know, Dad, like I said, he was set for life. His only condition was, I'll pay for the education, you pay for living. And so I worked all the way through college. It took me 5 years to graduate from college because I had two jobs while I was going to classes. So I worked my way through as a radio news reporter in Valparaiso, Indiana, and as a theater projectionist. That's what I did in college. Summers from college, I worked for Dad. I would cold call offices selling his copying machine products. From there to here. And I love it. You got to feel wanted in your 60s. And thank goodness there is one media company who does want me. And again, I thank this fine radio station for putting me on every Saturday morning. Even though it's 3 hours a week work, I do deeply appreciate it. Our phone number is 884-9910, but up next, we're going to be talking about a local bilingual service company. What? And it's unique and it's different, and it could help you out greatly if you own a business or if you just want to get along with other people. Oh, I would love to speak another language. 884-9910 is our number to call. If you have questions, you'd like to talk to our guest, it's Miguel. That's coming up next. On 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mesa Valley, 92.3. That's up next. We're going to break for a few minutes. FM News Talk time is 11:15.
Live, local, FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
And on the phones this morning, I'm John Potter. By the way, it's Jenna who is calling in the Live and Local show every Saturday morning. Hi, Jenna. I appreciate your call.
Hi, John. This is Jenna and Frank from Carson City, Nevada, a.k.a. Polo Lounge, Reno, Nevada. We are since retired, but we wanted to let you know that we listen to you and we miss you so much on Channel 2. So we don't watch Channel 2 anymore, but I wanted to let you know that I am a retired Butchers Union gal from Carson City, Nevada, and I miss working. I'll be 71, and I miss working so much. But I just wanted to let you know that I hear you and talking about your dad and you working and going to college. When I was like 16, my dad told me, you go out and work and never ask me for money. You go out and work, 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 work. So I did. I asked him for $5 one time to buy a pair of Levi Strauss button-up Levi's. And He said, I'm going to give it to you, but after this, you're going to go out and work. So I started working cleaning houses. And then when I turned 18, I started working with my mom as a meat wrapper in a wholesale butcher shop. And I worked from then on. And I worked and worked and worked, and I was in the butcher's union. I didn't know anything about the union. My mom says, you know, you're going to be a union worker. I'm like, yeah, what's that? Whatever. The best thing I ever did was work in a union. And when I retired, I have a nice pension. I have a nice Social Security. And I commend you for talking about your dad, because I miss my dad so much. He told me and all my siblings, you guys go out and work and don't ever ask anybody for money. And when he passed away, we never knew that he had his first penny he ever made. And I am so thankful for my dad for telling us to work. So I just want to let you know, Frank and I, also, we had the Polo Lounge in Reno, Nevada. We've since sold it. We're retired. We live in Carson City, and we miss you so much.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you. I appreciate that, Jenna. Thank you so much. We are birds of a feather. Yeah. The people aimlessly walking in the parking lot looking for their car they parked 15 minutes ago. You are my people, too. Birds of a feather, for sure. I'm John Potter. Let's go to talk to Maribel. Maribel, thanks for calling in this morning. Nice to get to know you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, John, and I'm happy to be here.
Okay, tell me about your unique business that you have here locally.
Well, we just started this venture a few years ago, over 20 years of experience. We are Cuervo Bilingual Services, and we offer personalized English and Spanish interpretation and translation services to ensure linguistic and cultural accurate communication. We're not just about language. We are about making meaningful differences in people's lives.
And what are the instances where people need your services? Because, you know, the technology's made it pretty easy with the Google Translate and such like that. But you do some very important work that Google can't. What are the things that you can do for folks?
Well, Google cannot do an interpretation for a conference or for a group. You know, it's a lot of discussion right now about the new technology that's going to replace interpreters, translators. It's actually the opposite. It's helping our industry to get more accuracy, to be more exposed, and to be able to do it anywhere in the world. So that's not going to be a substitution. You always need that human touch.
I'm getting what you do here. If you have to communicate with somebody in the company who speaks Spanish, you can be, it's interpreter services, basically, right?
Interpreter, there is a two different things. There's interpretation, which is the spoken word, and the translation, which is the written word. So we do both. While we do interpretation, it can be as simple as to deal with an employer, to give instructions or any specific directive, hold a meeting where you have employers who only speak English, Spanish, and you're not interrupting, because it can be simultaneously, you know, like you see on the people on the United Nations.
Yes,
we do that.
We interpret. So somebody just calls up your business, which is called Cuervo Bilingual Services, and asks for somebody to come on down and translate, interpret, and you pay what, an hourly fee for this, or do people sign up as a service subscription type deal?
But we have different. We just coming up with a different plan also to serve businesses that have like little bit of needs here and there. That is not a big event. That is nothing. But there is just the daily hassles of communicating and operating a company or business who has employers who only speak Spanish. We assist with that. I have a website where they can have all my information too. They can see the services I provide. It's called www.myinterpreter.help.
Very good. Maribel, I run into this situation an awful lot. Gosh, can you just have somebody spend the day with me as I go out and try to get business done?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everything can be done.
It's common, and it's getting more common for better or worse, but that's the situation that we live in. Well, this is a unique thing because I have not heard about a bilingual service here like that here in our area. What areas do you serve?
Well, I'm international, really. I mean, with after COVID, basically the open to the global market is out there because we can do provide services remotely. Interpretation can be done remotely nowadays, thanks to COVID, and so it's no need to travel. So there is a lot of cost containment for companies nowadays, because before we used to, you know, they used to pay for the speaker to come over, but not only the speaker, but the interpreter, if you need one, or you contract one local or something like that. Now things are much more easier with technology. It can be as easy as a Zoom meeting.
And do you do languages other than Spanish and English?
Not yet. I'm the only one specializing in, well, not the only one, but I'm specializing in English and Spanish because that is also my mother tongue. So if this is a tip for anybody who is looking to hire a translation interpretation, always look for someone who is a native or the language that you're going to interpret or translate into.
Awesome. That's service.
That's a good, very good tip.
Where are you from, Maribel?
I'm originally from Mexico City. Living in this country for almost 40 years already.
What brought you to Reno?
Family. My grandkids are around, so I still wanted to see them before they go away and do their own lives, which is happening soon.
Well, God bless you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I love hearing about people coming here. And, you know, I have a love of work, like I just went on and on about, and I so appreciate people who have that work ethic and that sense of reaching excellence. I salute you and the fine service you do. One more time, do you want to give out your phone number to people who want to use your services, or you can just repeat what's your website again? Go ahead.
Yes, my phone number is 530-494-9698. And my website is myinterpreter.help.
Oh, that's easy. You can do a .help.
Yes, it's easy, catchy. Myinterpreter.help. You need interpretation help, that is myinterpreter.help. You can go there, check the services that we provide, which are, you know, simultaneous in conference interpretation, consecutive interpretation, site translation, translation, written translation, and document quality support. And this is something that not many people mention, and that kind of put me apart from other translation and interpreters. We do this because many businesses and organizations already have documentation, already have literature in Spanish, but that is outdated. Or maybe they need to include some other services, new services, et cetera. They change their phone, their address. Mm-hmm. That simple could change. But when you want to change the message within and revamp your materials, that's something we also do.
And best wishes to your family. And it was great getting to know you. I do appreciate your phone call. Maribel of Cuervo Bilingual Services in Reno. Thanks, Maribel.
Thank you very much and have a great day.
All right, will do. I'm John Potter. We have a half hour more to go, so it's back to Open Topic at 884-9910. Brought up quite a few things this morning. If it's not local, hey, interested in hearing from you anyway. 888-484-9910. We're going to break for Fox News and be back in a few minutes on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley 92.3. FM News Talk time is 1129.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Hello, John Potter here. Good morning, Nevadans. Hello, my friends. Open phone lines. I hope you feel welcome. Our number is 884-9910. I run my mouth a lot, and I will try to step out of the way for your call. On this day, I'm going to try to step back a bit, be a little less obnoxious, and sit back and hear what's on folks' minds. If anything is going on in the news or in your life that you'd like to spout off on, I'd be very eager to hear. So far, here are the topics we covered since 9 o'clock this morning. My impossible-to-clean barbecue grill, I don't care what you say, nothing works. Local speed limits, which are puzzling on certain streets. The MGM getting hacked. The pepper mill, from what I'm told, eliminating live Keno. Cracker Barrel, why is it taking so long here? Students shoplifting. Monday Night Football. The UAW strike, touched on that, and again, my love of work. And that's what we've had so far. If there's something we're missing, or if you want to add to those, 884-9910.
And that is also our text number, 884-9910. If you have a text that you don't want to talk on air, you can always text us. In fact, John, I have two texts here. It says, regarding pilferage and outright theft, it is an unintended consequence of the consumerism and the entitlement culture.
That the kids are brought up, they can, that this is mine. Okay.
Exactly. Then another text came in, says, CPS in Nevada and California is ready to pounce like a cat on any parent who disciplines a shoplifting child.
I hope that's not true.
I hope that as well. But yeah, unfortunately, with the way our government works, you never know.
Okay, Craig. See who's on the phone. I'm eager to talk to folks, 884-9910. One thing I didn't bring up, I'll tell you why. I always hate that so many big events happen the afternoon of or the day after my Saturday local show. And I have a lot to say about certain things that happen after our Saturday show last time.
The Talk of Northern Nevada.
Yes, we are. Yes, I guess I hit something. But I don't want to sound repetitious, so I don't bring up these topics, but they're very big topics. And so if I do talk about something that happened on last Saturday after our radio show, I will try very hard not to repeat what others have said already. But right after our last radio show, President Biden went off on his trip to the G20 whatever. He went out there to tell the other countries and the rest of the world how they can have an economy as tattered as ours. Gave a speech explaining to them how they could do Bidenomics where they live. And all our allies around the globe were so thankful to the Great White Father for explaining to them his keen secrets and insights. I want to get into that. If you don't want me to, go ahead and let me know. Let's go to the phone. Bill calling from Carson City. Bill, thank you for calling. I appreciate your call, and welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering, you know, the stores that have in trouble with the shoplifting with the kids, have somebody outside the door and no backpacks allowed, and just have them stack them up outside in by the door, and they pick them up as they leave.
I think we had a call telling us that there's already a sign like that at a couple of stores. It doesn't stop the two-fisted thief, but the backpack situation would certainly be taken care of. Now, the stores, like I said earlier, the store's main concern is to have as many customers as possible. And I think they would realize that this would eliminate a certain segment of their shopping like me, I shop with a backpack. I bike everywhere. And so I would not be able to go shop at that store and affect their bottom
right.
line.
Well, you would shop at the store, but you couldn't bring the backpack in.
True. True, yeah. There's also a certain segment that would not want their backpack to be taken from them. I keep all my personal stuff in it and everything like that. So I'm just telling you what my reaction would be myself. But it would go a long way, you're right, into stopping the mass theft.
That, or you know where the chef's store is, right by the radio station there behind CVS?
Yes. Oh, yes, I've gone in there on Plum, okay. Right?
Fairview.
Fairview. Oh, in Carson. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. When you walk in to the left, they have a big refrigerator room, and that's where they keep their meat. Now, the stores could do the same thing similar to that. That had to be refrigerated, but they put all their alcohol in there and keep the door locked. And when somebody wants to go in, somebody has to go over there and unlock the door, and they could do their shopping in there.
Okay. I gotcha. I gotcha. I love that folks are calling up solutions to this and not just bemoaning bad parents and things like that. Like I said earlier, I respect the Costco way of doing things where they really do check your receipt and every item on it as you exit the store. Yeah,
right,
I don't mind that at all. Yeah. All right, Bill, thanks for checking in with us. I do appreciate your call. Have a good day, my friend. So anyway, the Biden trip, he went to Vietnam, which makes me think his asthma is better. See, that was his draft dodge, you see. There are three American presidents who have been draft dodgers. Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, and Joe Biden, each of them engaged in maneuvers in the 1960s to avoid the draft in military service. It's an undeniable fact. But okay, back to the trip. I just had to get that detail in. I have not forgotten that at all. But it was a rough trip, and it's interesting the things that have not been covered by the big three networks in our country. For example, he had a press conference where he very clearly became confused and addle-minded a little bit. He used his famous phrase, lying dog-faced pony soldier, this time to describe any of you who don't agree with him on global warming, which is his big thing, at least recently. And by the way, he said global warming was a greater existential threat facing humankind, even more so the nuclear war, which is an interesting thought and a scary proposition. I mean, specifically, if the temperature goes up another 1.5 degrees, you just want to sit there and say, are you serious, sir? Do you honestly believe that for half a moment that climate change is worse than nuclear war, that you don't think nuclear war would be an existential threat, right? You don't think Russia launching everything it has at the United States and Europe, you don't think that would be an existential threat? And yet the global warming, the climate change, the quarter degree here, the half a degree there, that's the existential threat. Even if you believe in man-made climate change, the climate is obviously changing. It's always changing. It's always changed. It will always change in the future. And here's why I don't believe it's this existential threat, because on behalf of all my fellow homies, specifically Homo sapiens, we've been there and done that over and over again. A lot of things have tried to extinct our species, including climate change. And so far, none of them have worked, and that's good, but we have repeatedly faced climate change for generations. We've lived through several ice ages and the thaws between them. You find evidence of human habitation in areas that now, and have been for centuries, horrifically barren deserts, and our species has adopted. And whatever nature has in store for us now, and nature is what's changing the climate, what nature has in store for us now, we'll be okay. We'll adapt. Whatever gets thrown our way, we will be okay, because the guys and girls who came before us, they were okay, right? And I don't even know if they had shoes. So, when the president said global warming is a bigger existential threat than nuclear war at this world summit, I'm surprised the Japanese guy didn't say, oh no, actually, Mr. President, we believe nuclear munitions are more bad, very, very bad. So anyway, okay, so at the end of the press conference, they asked him a question, and he sort of broke down rambling. And so this Jean-Pierre lady, his press spokeswoman, she apparently knows her job, at least a little bit. Her voice came out loud over his. Thank you very much. This concludes the press conference. And at that point, they cut the president's microphone, and they started playing some sort of nondescript jazz music. And as he, not catching on to what's going on, he's still speaking. And they turned the jazz music up louder. It was like you were watching, some award show, and somebody that nobody really cares about is prattling on a little bit too long, and they're going to shut him down. That's what they did to Joe Biden. I mean, imagine that being done to the president of the United States by his own staff. And the press conference there, it was interesting. Every time there's a press conference with Joe Biden, he is given the reporters to call on. He's told the order of when to call on them. And almost always he has their questions that they're going to ask. And if this thing last, or was it this, it was this week, he called on foreign, not U.S. reporters. He called on foreign reporters over there who asked him questions, naturally, about matters affecting their countries on the western side of the Pacific. Almost no questions from American reporters who would ask him about things on this side of the Pacific, namely what, Hunter, or the economy, or his poll numbers, and how that's going. So it was a very staged, managed kind of deal. And that coming on the heels of that Medal of Honors ceremony last week, where again, something else that did not make the evening news. The president became confused and just walked out of the ceremony while it was still going on. And there was a final little thing to be said, and there was this closing prayer to be offered, and he again just sort of plodded off. I say this in all due respect, but if Joe Biden was your grandpa, you take away the car keys, right? And so again, you know, God bless this man. We know he's aged. We know he has the infirmities of age, but this isn't about him. It's about the American news media, the vigilant defenders of the First Amendment affecting the powerful, whatever, something like that. And here they are, two very important appearances and actions by the U.S. president that just went off track and went poorly. Two events that did not make the evening news that I saw on the big three networks, because basically they're a nonstop campaign ad for him. I don't know. 11:47 back in a few minutes. We're down to our final minutes. One more break. Last chance to call 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Back in a few. FM News Talk time is 11:47.
Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk. KKFT.
Okay, 11:51, 9 minutes before noon. I'm John Potter, final minutes of our live and local show, 884-9910. As long as I'm picking on the media, I thought up another thing that I saw on the evening news this week that just infuriated me. And yes, I know that's a daily thing with me, but one of the networks, can't remember which of the three it was. I think it was CBS. They did this story on the Biden administration's decision to carry out a prisoner exchange with Iran and paying ransom to them. Basically, that's what it was. The White House this week okayed the swap. And they gave Tehran access to $6 billion in oil revenue that the U.S. had frozen through sanctions. In other words, we get five U.S. citizens held captive there. They get five Iranians held by them. Would they get the five Iranian citizens that were held by us for very good reasons? But a bonus, they got to spend $6 billion on top of it. So it was a very unequal trade, as usually happens here. That alone, yeah, that was upsetting to me and many others who realize that Iran is a world state sponsor of terrorism. Probably, and I think I've heard this, the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world in terms of how much they fund it. But also second, does it encourage enemies of the U.S. to take more Americans hostage so they get paid off so handsomely, too? You bet it does. But OK, that's aside from what I was getting into. What really got me was CBS making reference to Iran's history of the criminal taking of the 52 American hostages in 1979. They broke in the assembly. They put our people in handcuffs and blindfolds and house arrest, and they paraded them, remember, through the crowds of screaming Iranians, kill them, kill them, and kept them away from their terrified and worried families for 444 days. CBS calls this the Iranian hostage crisis. Oh, it was a crisis. Yes, a crisis for all concerned. Just, I don't know what they mean by that. How do you, and how do young people interpret that? It sounds like some soft peddling there, to me at least. This minimizing of the crime that was inflicted on 52 American embassy workers in their own building. Crisis. Is it just the evening news calling it that, or do they call it that in the new PC updated textbooks too? What's that?
I was going to say, wasn't that the time when we first got one of our late night TV shows giving us an update after the local news at 11 o'clock?
Nightline.
Yeah. Popped in after that. And
did they call it just crisis?
I don't know what they actually called it to start out.
Well, they are now. And I looked up crisis. It's a condition of instability or danger, as in social, economic, political, or international affairs, leading to a decisive change.
Yeah.
Dad, what happened with the Iranians in 1979? Oh, son, the U.S. and Iran, you see, they both entered a condition of instability or danger, a crisis. Listen, I had a crisis when I spilled my venti caramel macchiato all over my pants driving to the smog check Wednesday.
Yeah.
I had a crisis at Roxy's when the bill came and I had no cash and cards, or went to the Aces game and I had no credit cards and they don't take cash. That is a crisis. What happened to our... I'm sorry, Craig, go ahead.
I was just going to say, leading into a topic that Frank from Walker is calling about, how our country looks to other countries.
I'm sorry, Frank. Welcome to the show, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of wanted your opinion. I mean, because how do you think we look to other countries? And going back to what you were saying about how, you know, Biden and you got Feinstein, all these people that are just... They're just old and can't think. And I look at now, it just seems like other countries are taking a lot more chances with us and talking more nuclear than they ever did. Doesn't that seem like it, you know?
Yeah, we look like fools. We look like easy touches. And listen, Russia, would they have invaded Ukraine if Joe Biden was not the man in charge of things? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's so obvious to everybody I talk to everywhere, young and old, that it looks like we're weak and getting weaker. And it's just, you know, they're challenging us at every little corner of anything they can challenge us with. It just seems like they're doing it. It just doesn't, that's what scares me the most.
Yeah, what? And remember when Trump went to the G20 and the news media told us all how terribly rude he was to the Europeans over this and that? My gosh, he was a hard wall to deal with, and we got the best deals if you're a tough negotiator.
Right.
I don't see Mr.
Right.
Biden being a tough negotiator, and we always get the short end of the stick in these things, you know?
He's not anything anymore, but, you know, that's to me.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. I guess this show took a dark turn. But thank you for calling, Frank. I do appreciate it. Listen, I got to go back and say that, listen, I've never heard what the Iranians did to us in 1979, a criminal act like that, and heartbroke many families. I never heard that called before as a crisis.
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
And I listen, I wish I were still on TV to give... what they did, the proper words. And you know I would do that and probably get shown the door again. Yes, Craig.
Well, one last text on an uplifting note a little bit here.
Good.
Earlier, the woman who called saying to have drive-through grocery stores, we already have something similar in with Walmart pickup and order and pickup or delivery, Smith's, Raley's, and other stores using the delivery services of Instacart, DoorDash, Postmates, and things like that. That helps a lot. In fact, for me, it helps extremely because if I went grocery shopping, I'd have to my apartment, I'd have to make 20 trips from the car to the apartment.
For sure. But as a solution to the shoplifting thing, that means more employees to handle it, and somebody's got to pay for it. It's higher prices, what it comes down to. John Potter here. I'll see you. Talk to you next Saturday morning.